Good afternoon, gentlemen. Can you hear me all right? Well, the last time I was up here was April 15th. It was tax day. And I had a letter that I had written out to the IRS. I was going to share it with you that day, but due to the events of the day, I didn't. And my wife advised me not to send it with our tax return, so I still have it. So I thought that real quick I'd share this with you. To the Internal Revenue Service. Enclosed is my 2008 Form 1040, together with payment. Please take note the attached article from the USA Today archives. In the article, you will note that the Pentagon paid $171 for hammers and NASA paid $600 for toilet seats. Please find enclosed in this package 4 toilet seats, 6 hammers valued at $3,429. Please accept this as my payment. Out of sense of patriotic duty and to assist the political purification of our government, I'm also enclosing a 1.5-inch Phillips head screw for which HUD duly recorded the purchase value of $22. This will be my contribution to fulfill the presidential election fund on the Form 1040. It has been a pleasure to pay my taxes this year, and I look forward to paying them again next year. Sincerely, another satisfied taxpayer. Well, I was hoping to lighten things up a bit and just kind of calm my nerves and so we could just settle in a bit. It helps me out tremendously. Well, last week, Jerry Van Auken, his lesson was, Can You Hear His Voice? And this week, our lesson comes from 1 Samuel 15 and 16, when the Spirit of God departs. Well, for something to depart, it has to be there in the first place, right? Today we're going to look at Saul and how he was filled with the Spirit of God and what led up to when the Spirit left him. We'll also take a look at David, a man after God's own heart, and how he fits into this story. God told Saul through the prophet Samuel to completely destroy the Amalekites. Completely. These Amalekites had a lengthy history with the Hebrews and not a good one. They attempted to stop the Israelites when they marched through their territory when they were coming up out of Egypt. We find this in Deuteronomy chapter 25. It reads, Remember what the Amalekites did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt. When you were weary and worn out, they met you on your journey, cut you off, all who were lagging behind, and they had no fear of the Lord. The Amalekites were a band of guerrilla terrorists. They lived by attacking other nations and by carrying off their wealth and their families. We also read in Exodus 17, they attacked the Israelites in Rephidim. And in the book of Judges and Numbers, they teamed up with the Moabites and the Midianites to fight against Israel. You can see these Amalekites are very hostile. And they were hostile towards the Israelites for hundreds of years. And furthermore, Saul has already had a go at them in the previous chapter. You'll read that in chapter 14, 48. I want to read today chapter 15, 1 through 7. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came out of Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. God's very clear on this issue of totally wiping out the Amalekites. He said, Now go, attack and destroy. Game on. Saul's anointed and has God's blessing. Filled with the Spirit of God, he's operating in the realm of God's glory. Saul not only has a standing army, which is devoted to him and to God, he has unlimited power through God's word. Let's read on, chapter 15, 8 through 9. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with a sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs. Everything that was good he kept. Saul decides to improvise God's plan. He captures their king, takes him as POW, a direct violation of God's command. Okay, sorry about that. Is this better? Okay, sorry. I can hear myself up here just fine. Saul departs from God's plan. He wasn't obedient. Bad move, Saul. Let's read on. Chapter 15, verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told Saul had gone to Carmel. There he set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. Saul builds a monument unto himself. He made it all about him. And then he lied to Samuel. Verse 13, he says, Hey, Samuel, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. And Samuel's response is, What then is this bleating of sheep I hear in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle? When we don't follow the Lord, and when we make it all about us, and try to do things our way, things can get pretty messed up. The Lord said, I am grieved that I have made Saul king. Saul didn't follow God's instructions, and the scriptures tell us in verse 26, you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you. Game over. Can you imagine how Saul felt? This mighty warrior for God. I'm sure most of us can. In fact, I'll bet most of us has been in a situation where we thought that God is nowhere near. And we read in chapter 16, Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. And when I read this, I wondered, can the Spirit of the Lord depart from us? And can an evil spirit come from the Lord? I've often found it difficult to bring an ancient message from the Old Testament into the 21st century. And I searched the Scriptures and prayed for revelation and some more information. And I wanted to ask my pastor, and I kept forgetting. So what do we do in the 21st century when we want more info? We Google it, right? Well, I Googled it. When the Spirit of the Lord departs. And here's what I got. 1 Samuel 16:14. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. So as I was praying, Lord, give me direction, I was directed to the book of Job. How many are familiar with the book of Job? It's a wonderful book that gives us a first-hand look of the fight between good and evil. And I want to share just a bit with you out of here. It starts out in chapter 1. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Now this word feared in the Hebrew, in this text, is the word spelled Y-A-R, Yar, which means reverence. So he was in reverence of the Lord. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. He was a large, large businessman. And his sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink and be with them. And when a period of feasting had run its course, Job would ascend and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them. Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God, and this was his regular custom. So he kept a spiritual hedge of protection over his family, and he did this often, it says. And as we read on, it said, One day the angels came to present themselves to the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, Where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Now I read this as if the devil can't be everywhere all at once. roaming to and fro and going back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him, his household, and everything he has? You've blessed the work of his hands. But stretch out your hand against him, and he'll surely curse you to your face. Another thing we notice about Satan is he doesn't know the outcome. He can not only be not everywhere all the time. He's not omnipresent, but he's not omnipotent. He doesn't know. He's not all-knowing. So long story short, he sends the Sabians and puts Job's servants to the sword. And he sends the Chaldeans and carries off all of his livestock. And it says, while he was still speaking, at another messenger came. Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the older brother's house. When suddenly a mighty wind came and struck all four corners of the house and killed all your children. So here's Job. He once had everything. And now he's lost everything. But he fell to the ground in worship and he said, naked I come from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before their Lord, and Satan came with them to present them before him. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Then the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Once again. And he's a blameless and upright man. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Skin for a skin, Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand to strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you. And the Lord said to Satan, very well then, he's in your hands, but you must spare his life. Satan is limited by God. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. And when Job's three friends come, he's so sickly, they don't even recognize him. It says, when they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud. They tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. And they sat on the ground for 7 days in silence. So here we have a man who's lost everything. He's sick, unrecognizable. And his wife says to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. In the message, in Eugene Peterson's The Message, it reads, still holding on to your precious integrity, are you? Curse God and be done with it. How could she say that to her husband? I have to think that she stood behind him in prayer all these years, praying with him, sticking with him through the good times and the bad, raising all those kids, 10 kids. And here he is sick and devastated. His friends don't even recognize him. Their life on earth, as they knew it, was wrecked. At this point, in her mind, it's just him and her. And I think she was completely consumed with her surroundings, what she could see with her own eyes. And with all that happened, she couldn't fix any of it. Her husband was sick, and she couldn't do anything to help. I think she thought and felt like the Lord had departed. This story in Job gives us a first-hand account of the spiritual fight between good and evil. So much goes on behind the scenes that we don't see. For Job, and this story gives us reassurance that evil does not come from God, and that's why I share this little side street with Job. I think for sometimes, for various reasons, God allows it. I think he allows bad to come in our life. For Job, it was to silence Satan. For Saul, it was because of disobedience. Saul was on top. He had it all together, and he disobeyed and drifted from God's plan. He did it his way. We need to walk close to God all the time. We need to be obedient. We need to listen to his word. It keeps evil at bay. Job did it no matter what he saw in the physical. He walked in faith. Deuteronomy 12:28 tells us in the Amplified, to be watchful and obey, to be obedient in all the Lord's commands. And when we do, Psalm 91:11 tells us, for he will give his angels special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. When we walk in this realm, we walk with angels. We need to treat all things as spiritual, like Job, and that's hard to do. We want to get in the way of God and do things our way. We can get caught up in our physical surroundings, and when things don't go right, we lose focus. We lose our sense of spirituality, and the next thing you know, things are spiraling out of control, and we pop a top like Job's wife. We get too caught up in the here and now, and the flesh takes over. As I thought about this, I was taken back to a time during the first few years that my wife Dawn and I were married. And I can tell you today that back then our walk with the Lord was not near as close as it is now. We've grown so much since this day. We were working hard on a new marriage and blending 6 kids, 3 of hers and 3 of mine. And we got into a disagreement. Ever had one of those? And this disagreement, I don't even remember what it was about, but it spiraled out of control. And the voices raised, and we were hurling hurtful words at each other. And before I knew it, my wife was curled up on the floor in a ball, crying. And me being the man that I was standing over and telling her how wrong she was and how right I was. The Spirit of the Lord was nowhere near. When we let the flesh take over, the next thing you know, you're not speaking to each other. The infamous silent treatment. And we hold on to grudges. These are forms of evil from Satan, the accuser, the king of lies and deceit. An evil spirit can be depression, worry, lust, and the list goes on. When the Spirit leaves us, good leaves with it. Amen. If God in His grace do not rule us, then sin and Satan has possession of us. When men turn to the world to quench their desires by willful sin, when the flesh takes over, He departs. And we grieve the Holy Spirit. That's what happened to Saul, and that's what happens to us. Paul tells us in Romans 8:9 that we're to be controlled not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. We need to seek daily the filling of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Being thirsty and hungry, it's a daily thing. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:16 that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Scripture tells us, we need to fill it. John 7:37, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. We need to keep our walk close to God and follow His commandments. Seek His Word. Ask your Heavenly Father to fill you with His Spirit, and we'll walk with guardian angels. Saul is empty. He's rejected God's Word. He did things his way. And the Lord is grieved. We jump ahead to chapter 16. I'm going to read through 21. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord had tormented him. So we know, we understand that scripture. Saul's attendants said to him, see, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants to search for someone who can play the harp. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you, and you'll feel better. So Saul said to his attendants, find someone who plays well and bring him to me. One of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem. He is a brave man, a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man. and the Spirit of the Lord is with him. And Saul sends his messengers, and they bring David. Verse 21 tells us, David came to Saul, entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of Saul's armor bearers. The great historian Josephus called Saul's affliction a strange demonical disorder brought upon him for which the physicians could find no other remedy. Find someone to charm him, someone who could play the harp and sing hymns. I think Saul's evil spirit was depression, and I think he needed cheered up. He needed something more than prayer. He needed what the scriptures call an armor bearer. David, a man after God's own heart, is called into Saul's service. David, who the Bible says is a fine-looking man and speaks well, and the Lord is with him. He's full of the Spirit. David is called in to stand behind Saul in service, and he answers the call. And I think we can all be in agreement that when someone's down and they're hurting and going through trials and tribulations, the first thing we want to do is pray. And that's good. We should pray first. But we also need armor bearers. And for some of us, depending on what that person is going through or what they're doing, we turn and run. Ouch. That hurts. But it's the truth. Last summer, I was coming down here to Kokomo to get a haircut. And I was waiting for the light to change down here at Sycamore and Jefferson. And I noticed a gentleman stumbling, and he was carrying a bag, not dressed well, older with long, scraggly hair. And then he fell. I thought he was drunk. And he gets up only to stumble off the curb, and he does a face plant in the street. And this guy's hurt. I remember thinking, this guy needs help, but I thought, I've got to be at the barbershop in a couple minutes. I can't just leave my truck in the middle of the intersection. The light's going to change. There's going to be people impatient, honking, wanting to go. I drove off and prayed a prayer. I had an opportunity to be that guy's armor bearer, to come to his side, and I made excuses. And I justified not helping. And if that wasn't enough, I judged him. I've regretted that day. I've regretted that response that I had. And for all I know, that gentleman could be here today or listening on the net. And if you are, I'm sorry. I think too many times we fall short. It takes boldness. It takes extra effort to be an armor bearer, to actually come alongside someone and physically help them. Too many times when people reach out and share with us what they're going through, we listen and we say, I'll pray for you. I'll keep you in my prayers. And we walk away. We miss the mark. I tell you, I know how Job's wife felt. I know how Saul felt. And I know how Job felt. And I think most of us can relate to these three people in some way or another. There's been a time in my life when I've had armor bearers. Not only prayer warriors, but armor bearers. I want you to ask yourself today, are there any Sauls in your life? Pray to your Heavenly Father to breathe His Spirit into you, to fill you up to overflowing. And God will fill you with His Word. Listen to Him. Be obedient. Be bold. And take the extra effort to be an armor bearer. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word. Our prayer today is to give us passion to seek you daily. Fill us with your spirit. Give us an ear to hear your voice. Our desire is that you never leave us. Help us to be obedient. Give us boldness to step out in service. Help us to put our flesh to the side and walk in the Spirit. Give us power through your life-giving word to be armor bearers. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.